Yo, thank you for joining me today on Pop Culture Unplugged.
Hey, super fun to be here. Thank you.
Excited, Fred. I love it. You just finished True Detective. You got Airbender on. How does it go from one big show right to another right away? How's your life been?
It's been insane. This last month and a half, my life just suddenly turned big.
Yeah. Which is
I
great too,
was
because what I've seen in like in the forums and everything, you got a huge following, man. The fans love you.
Hey, well, that's really good to hear. I like that. I know Eddie. Eddie's a great character, and he's turned a lot of heads, it seems. So
Oh
that's
yeah,
awesome.
definitely amazing. We're gonna jump into True Detective in a little bit, and of course Avatar: The Last Airbender. But I want to talk about your career and everything. I wrote down here like your journey in the entertainment industry, man. How did you pursue the acting world? What made you go for it?
Oh, dude, it was peer pressure, I think.
Really?
High school, everybody that I knew was auditioning for the High School Musical in grade 12, and I was very, very shy, but I peer pressure was into trying out. So I sung a song with a bunch of swear words in it, thinking I'd just get detention, and I ended up getting one of the leads. And I was terrible, make no mistake. I couldn't act, couldn't sing, couldn't dance, and I was awful, but I fell in love with something in that moment, and I had never done anything like that before, and I'd never wanted to do anything like that, but it wouldn't let go of me. And over the next 15-ish years, I kept on doing community theater until again, someone kind of pushed me and went, "You're really good at this. Why don't you get an agent? I'm living in Vancouver, filming capital of North America. Why don't you actually take this seriously?" And so I went and through a mutual friend found this agent, and I hit the ground kind of running, I guess. I booked four out of my first five auditions, and I haven't looked back, so
How
it's
many
been
years did you
good.
study acting before you like started jumping into it?
I
Like community college and everything you mentioned.
never took any classes. I learned through doing, I guess, through a lot of the hard way, the hard but free way of doing community theater. And like I did some improv when I was in Edinburgh, Scotland for a bit, and off and on when I was living in British Columbia here. And yeah, just anything that I could get out in front and make myself uncomfortable with, I was doing it. So
While you were like teaching yourself this craft and everything, were you going back to watch like certain movies to try to like, or like watch somebody's movies or TV shows, try to model yourself after, like to keep going with it?
oh yeah, completely, completely. I would watch The Room on repeat and just try to be like Wiseau all the way. Tommy Wiseau. No, the opposite of that. I would just watch all of my favorites, and I got catch myself doing monologues like from Princess Bride and all these funny little things, just on my own. And I realized like that's the best free form of training you can get, is just and start thinking of different ways. How would you do this? How would this scene go this way? Because I was always too poor. Like I've been poor my entire life, and I mean poor. When I got into acting, I spent my only $500 to my name. I got my headshots done, and then I was walking 3 hours across the city because I couldn't afford a bus. I couldn't afford food properly. I was sleeping on a cot for a couple of years, and getting into acting moved me out of poverty. So if anyone wants to make a little bit of money, get into acting. It's a surefire way to get some success.
So while you were doing all this, were you like, did you work any other type of job just to make try to make ends meet?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I was doing all these odd jobs that I could. And again, it was one of those silly things of like, you're working all these jobs that you don't really care about so that you can miss out on them if you get to do a play. And then you're like, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm gonna quit this job because I want to do this play, and it's gonna take up all of my evenings, and you're not gonna give me the time off. So again, I do love what I'm doing, but if it wasn't for the people around me recognizing that maybe I had something more to offer than just this, then maybe I wouldn't be sitting here chatting with you. So I appreciate my community that I'm with.
Did I wrote down here, did I see something? Did you teach in Korea too?
Yeah, I did.
What tell us a little bit about that.
I taught for 3 years in Korea. It was supposed to be one, but I ended up loving it so much. I was doing volunteer work when I was about 21 years old, and I had a friend who was a year older than me in Korea at that time. And it was World Cup, and they were sending these like emails and like, oh, this is crazy. And the internet was still pretty new back then too, 2001. And they were like, yeah, this is wow, I'm having such a great time. You'd love this. You're really great. And when I went, I ended up going over there. I spent again all the money that I had, which wasn't very much. I finished this volunteer program. You volunteer for a year, they give you $1,000, and that was all the money that I had. And I went there, I got a job, I was working, and I it was a good time to be a young, indestructible 20-year-old, 20-ish-year-old dude, right? Because I was living recklessly, and again, I learned that I was very good at entertaining, and it was another way of training, I guess, because I was not qualified to be a teacher in any regard, but the way that the schools were set up, I just had to make learning English fun, and I could do that. And I had a ridiculous retention rate. My school was floundering when I signed up there, and they had like a 50% student retention rate. They were losing students. It's all a business, and I ended up like getting it up to 96%, and it was good. In the end, I was like, I left the country, and there was kids that didn't speak a word of English, and I was saying goodbye to them and having conversations with them. And it was when I was leaving that I realized, oh, I was actually pretty good at this job.
Wow.
I miss them.
Did you learn Korean while you were there?
Yeah. 사실 나는 한국말 못합니다. 그러나 나는 배우고 있습니다. That's for the
What
Koreans.
does
Oh, that's just like I counted to 10. No,
that
actually, said I don't speak Korean, but
mean?
I'm trying to study it. Yeah.
Really? So you've done the theater, you've done, like you mentioned, the TV series and everything. What's the ultimate? You even had a podcast. We'll talk about that in a second. What's the ultimate goal for you? What are you trying to like accomplish next?
Oh man, you know what? I would love to be getting into some bigger, interesting roles, kind of like Kavik adjacent, even because I just love that character so much. When I read it, I went with the right impulse. But something like I think Pedro Pascal-esque lighter roles, you know. I mean, I don't know about fame and all that kind of stuff, but just those kind of characters, you know. Joel from The Last of Us was such a brilliant character. It's just a joy to watch. So something kind of like that. You know, your man with his heavy burdens to bear. I like those roles a lot.
How about comedy? Because you mentioned improv before. Would you ever want to jump into comedy too?
Yeah, actually, I did a kind of a I tried to instill a little bit of comedy into Kavik, into a show with no comedy really. But I always enjoy that. I love making people laugh. That's a big thrill. There's a movie I filmed over the summer called Sweet Summer Powwow, and that's pretty lighthearted. And I'm an uncle trying to help his nephew find love. So that was a really fun role to do as well. It's just the opportunity. If it were to come up, I'd jump at it.
Amazing. And what about the podcast? How did you decide to start that? Was that like during like an off time? You weren't doing anything, you decided to start a podcast in between that?
Yeah, because Avatar filmed 2 years ago. True Detective filmed a year ago, and it was right after I filmed True Detective that I found myself in this weird little hiatus because the industry was shutting down because of the strikes and everything, and it looked like that's where it was headed. So I wanted to listen to some podcasts about Indigenous actors, and in this saturated landscape of podcasting, I couldn't find any. Like I'd find individual interviews here on today's show. We have an interview with this actor, and then mostly we're going to be talking about all this other stuff. And I was like, well, how come there's nothing dedicated to this? So out of necessity, I think I decided to create the show that I wanted to listen to. And if anyone wants to create a show even better than mine, that'd be awesome, because then I could listen. But in the meantime, I'm having a great time really kind of highlighting other Indigenous actors and trying to lift up all of us, because the success of all of us is the reward. I don't want to just be in this business just for me. That's not what our culture is about. I want to see us as a people succeed.
Is there a special guest that you hope one day goes on your show?
Oh man, there's so many. And it's a small community, really. We're kind of friends with a bunch. And I wish I had more time to get dedicate to it. So there's Wes Studi. I would love to get him. He's like the big time elder actor, I suppose. I asked Graham Greene, which is very funny. He was on The Last of Us as well, and he was in that movie that I did. So I asked him then, but he was just so busy, and he's so hilariously grumpy grandpa dude. It was very funny. Like, oh, I just don't have the time,
Right.
and I laughed, and I'm not going to push it with him because I respect that
Right.
guy too much. But yeah, like anyone. Let's see, Gladstone, of course, right? She's incredible of winning the Oscar. I'd put money down on her taking the Oscar. Yeah, just anyone that's loving it, I want to uplift them. But I also am trying to highlight other people that maybe a lot of folks haven't really heard of yet, and I think they should have heard of them.
Amazing. That's awesome. And we can find that everywhere, Apple, Spotify, I assume.
Oh yeah, it's on actorsandancestors.com. It's on Spotify, Apple, all the major streaming platforms.
Amazing. Let's jump into Two Detective then. I mean, I've been excited about this. First of all, do you remember your audition? Because you said it was filmed a while ago too. Do you remember your audition and were you approached for this certain role first?
Yeah, I really do think I got this audition because I got put on the radar from the casting announcement of Avatar.
Okay.
So my casting in Sokota came out, and a few days later I got the audition for True Detective, and I didn't really think anything of it then. Did my audition, sent in the tape because it was all self-tape, and when I got the chemistry read, I was pretty floored and excited. And I was with Kaylee and Issa, and the three of us were on the call, and we're all in different points of the planet doing the Zoom call chemistry read, which is really difficult. Doing a
Yeah.
chemistry read online, like how do you, but managed to make it work. And the next thing I knew, I was on a plane about a month and a half later, heading to Iceland,
Wow.
for a table read. And then, we were doing some intimacy coordination then. And then I came back, and another month later, I was back filming my stuff.
Wow. So there was no self-tape for this or anything, huh?
The first audition was a self tape, and then the chemistry read was live. And I thought for sure I didn't get it. Oh dude, it was, yeah, it was wild. It was, she's online. Everyone comes online right precisely at 10 a.m. my time was it when I came on,
Yeah.
10 a.m. my time. And she goes, "Hi, this is going to take 12 minutes. This is Kaylee. I'm Issa. Hello. I'm going to do the scene. I'm going to give you a note. You're going to do the scene again, and then it'll be
Wow.
done." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So we do this thing. She gives me a note. I do the thing again. Thank you very much. Bye. Boom. Done. Cut and dry, man. Like, and I was like,
Wow.
wow, I did not get that. There's no way. I
That's
like
gotta
they
be hard
hated
over
me.
Zoom table read.
Yeah, right. Like I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not my part. I didn't get that shit. And then
How long before you got the call?
I found out like 2 weeks later.
Okay, that's not too
There was some
bad.
back and forth, and I gotta give it to Issa. She fought for me. She fought for me. She wanted me. The producers wanted someone else, and she said, look, we can send this guy to the gym. I lost about 25 pounds for this role.
Wow.
Like I was in the gym as soon as I got that call. 3 days later, I was working out, and I was working out 6 days a week, busting my butt, and made it
That's
happen.
awesome.
So yeah.
What was the description you were given for this character?
Kavik, I
Yeah.
mean, he's a bartender, well, secret bartender. He's not actually, he runs a burger joint, but it's what's
Yeah.
called a damp town. And so he also he makes his own moonshine homebrew, and he sells that under the table. And he's a dog runner. So he skirts the law, but he's got a really strong moral center. And that was about all that I was
Given.
given. And I had to build on that. And I just decided, you know what? Kavik was raised by powerful matriarchs. He really respects women. He's not going to try and assume any roles and push them around. And it was the right instinct, because Issa really liked what I did. And if you've seen the series, there's a great scene in a fishing shack that wasn't in the original bit. And through the span of filming, she gave me this extra scene in there. So,
So you
yeah.
mentioned Iceland too. How long were you there for filming?
Oh, I was, well, they took a total of 6 months, I think. 6 or 7 months, I think.
Wow.
Five, six, seven. And I was there 3 times. I was supposed to be there twice. I was there for the table read, and then I was up there for another 2 weeks to film all my scenes. But because we added this extra scene with the fishing shack, I was brought in again. So I was really thrilled with that. It just felt really validating to see someone really like your work enough to give you some more.
Awesome.
It's an honor.
It's been a crazy ride for you. And I mean, before we went on the air, we also mentioned that the character means Wolverine also. Like, did you know that before when you first saw the name? Or did you know that, or did
You know
somebody
what?
tell you?
Well, the funny thing about that is that my character was originally called Kanak,
Kanak.
but Kanak, but the name Kanak means crazy.
Okay. So they
And they
changed
were
it.
like, they changed it. Yeah, they changed it, and they changed it to Kavik. And it means Wolverine. So they thought that was cooler, I guess. And so they went with
Wow.
that. Yeah, but we had a really funny blooper outtake where Kaylee actually got mad at me during a scene, and she's like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, Kavik. And she gets up and leaves. But during the original take, she went, fuck you,
That's
Kanak, and got out.
awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any like elements of this character, like plot points that you suggested to maybe change a little bit while you guys were filming this? Like, did you bounce back and forth with the writer, the directors?
No. I was allowed to improv a bit and offer some of my own things. I mean, that SpongeBob line, that was something that I had put in there. SpongeBob, he lives in a pineapple and cleans your teeth, I think. Yeah. So there's just little things like that I got to kind of pepper in. And Issa, to her credit, is like, if she appreciates that kind of stuff. She would always do one for what they think they wanted, another one with a little bit of move, and then one where she was just like, just do what you like. Let's see what you can come up with.
Were you a SpongeBob fan? Is that why you threw that in there?
Oh, no, the SpongeBob was written in, but
Okay.
the specific wording, I just was just like, yeah, like, why is SpongeBob cool, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm defending my toothbrush, basically. And yeah, I mean, who doesn't like SpongeBob?
My son loves it. I have to change it sometimes. It's always on the TV.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, and then that's who gave me the SpongeBob toothbrush was my nephews, Kavik's nephews. It's all in this your personal character's backstory, right?
When you started filming this, did they give you the script straight through the end, or were you doing script like, an episode by episode?
Oh yeah, no, we filmed it. It was all out of order filming, so I got
Okay.
the entire thing to read. I flew up there. I was given all of the scripts. I was really moved. I enjoyed it a lot. And there were things that would happen on set, much like that scene that needed to be added in because someone couldn't do this scene. There was an older gentleman that was cast in, and he wasn't able to make it, unfortunately. So I got put into this new thing, and they rewrote this whole thing. But this I was appreciative of that they were trying to represent the culture correctly, and so there were things that were being rewritten to accurately reflect these people and the way of life on the spot. We had cultural consultants, and they were, able to make a better product in the end.
I want to call this a spoiler real quick. So if people are going to listen to this, shut it off right here. But while you're reading the script, did you think you were the killer at first? Did any that idea go through your head?
I mean, a little bit, but because of my initial talk when Issa called me up to tell me about before I'd read the scripts, she was like, he's a good, you had the right impulse, he's a good guy, da 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 da. So then I was like, all right, my guy's the heart, he's a good person. So reading it, I was like, there's no way I'm the killer. And I was like, no way, nah, no. And then it started moving off. And by episode five, I was like, okay, there's no way I definitely can't be the killer. And episode six, I was like, I have my smaller part in the final episode, but I was like, all right, that's fitting. It's a heartbreak.
The reason I was asking is because I was going through like researching more on the show and everything and your character, and people were like going back and forth, were like they thought you were either a secret villain pretty much or the good guy. They were like going back and forth throughout like past 6 weeks now.
Someone forward me something like that. Yeah, they were like, Kavik is definitely, he's too good. He's too nice of a guy. And I was laughing. I was like, yeah, I can see why. Like, there's that's how TV would have you believe there just can't be a good person.
Right. The one thing they were disappointed with was Kavik and Navarro's story. Like, it just like we don't have an ending to that story. What happened? Like, what do you think would have happened with them?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. It is open to interpretation. Mine was, I think that she does come back personally. That's I like to live in a land of hope, and I think that she was okay. She didn't actually walk off into the ice forever. She's just decided to lay low and come back eventually. Because come on, Gavik's cool. How could you resist that dude? He's got a bunch of dogs. He's got clean teeth.
That's right. That's right. What was it working with that? We mentioned Callie a few times, or even like Jodie Foster. Like, how was it working with them?
Well, Kaylee, the very generous, and I'm glad that I was able to film that intimate scene with her and put her at ease, because it was the most scary scene for her, I think,
Yeah.
to get into something like that. And that was day one. That was day one.
Wow.
But again, thankfully, for big ups to Lucy Fennell, who is our intimacy coordinator. I'm glad that that's the standard now in the industry, because it takes a lot of that fear away, and we're still able to create something believable and keep her in control of the scene that we had done. And Jody is remarkably intelligent, personable, incredibly well read. She is the heavyweight champion of acting in this.
Been in the
And
industry for a long time.
yeah, exactly. And it's so good to see her back on film again, like doing a
Yeah.
TV series. Unreal that she hasn't done this in so long. And she's so friendly. She When I showed up for the second time after I had been away after the table read, and I was still
Yeah.
working on losing weight, and I showed up again, and she came running up to me and she slaps my belly and like, "Good job, you did it." Because she knew how hard I was working at it. And yeah, it just humanized her so quickly, because during that table read and looking at her, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her. It's this, wow, this
Right.
mythical figure of acting. And then no, she's just a bro.
Was it, did anybody on set give you any advice for joining a series like this?
No, the nice thing was that there were so many of us that were new. I mean, Akka was her first filming anything that I'm aware of. A lot of us were theater people. Indigenous people aren't really famous even when we're famous, so there was a lot of community already there. We all would bond and hang out, and there's a lot of humor that we all mutually understand as Indigenous folks. So that connection was there, and I think it just kind of took a lot of the edge off and allowed us to actually invest ourselves in our characters without that fear of, you're on a mammoth of a show, you better be able to. No, we're already there, and we're already there because we earned that spot. So just work on our art and make it happen. And yeah, we're better for it.
That's awesome. I'm glad. I'm happy that I had to see like everybody loved your character at the end. Like you just see some of the comments out there. It's like some people want to marry you. I don't know if you've noticed that. Go out there and look. They're saying hubba hubba for your. I just saw that earlier today, and I'm like, that is hilarious.
I appreciate that. Yeah, big uncle energy. Yeah, people like those uncles, I guess.
So
Yeah.
let's talk a little about Avatar too, like, because that's number one show right now on Netflix. Tell us a little bit about your role
Number
in
one
that
show in the world
in the
right now.
world.
Isn't that
Yeah.
nuts? I just saw that title pop up in a headline today, and I was like, what? Are you kidding? Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled about Avatar. I mean, it was I did this movie called Beans.
Okay.
It was about 5 years ago, and it was about this event in Canada called the Oka Crisis in 1990. And there was this Mohawk uprising, and the kid who played Beans is Gawain Dio, who's playing Katara in Avatar.
Okay. Wow.
And I played her father in that movie, and Rainbow Dickerson played her mother. And they liked that family dynamic that we had so much that they got us to audition for Avatar as well. And both Rainbow and myself ended up, I was a bit of a rounder story, got into it though, and we ended up getting the parts. So I was originally offered Bato, and I was days away from signing on the dotted line for this other project that I was doing. And I'm like, I'm gonna do this other thing. Bato's cool. Have a good time. I wish you guys all well. And then they came back and were like, well, what about Hakoda? And I was like, okay, bye-bye, other project,
Right.
It's
I mean, yeah,
like
that's awesome. What can you tell us a little about that character?
Hakoda?
Yeah.
Yeah, for those that don't know, he's the father of two of the main characters, Sokka, Katara. And he has had to go away to fight a war because Fire Nation has decimated the Southern Water Tribe. They're just hanging on barely, and so he leaves his son to protect the village. And him and all the men are off fighting this guerrilla campaign. And if you're a fan of the cartoon, you know what's coming. Season 2 and 3, they lead the big charge. Hakoda's the main general, and leads the charge with this really hodgepodge, amazing group of characters that they've met over their journeys. And so I'm really excited about that. Badass, good father, just making some really tough choices in the moment. So I'm excited about having those moments later on.
Amazing. What's next for you now? Any other projects you're allowed to tell us about?
Just Sweet Summer Powwow is coming out. There, my friend Daryl Dennis wrote, directed it. I'm playing an uncle trying to help my nephew find love, and they're shopping it around right now. So we'll see if they can find a distributor. And once that's out, then who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
That's awesome. Joe, lastly, let's end this by how can the viewers and the listeners find you on social media to keep up with you?
Oh yeah. Check out I'm on Instagram. It's just my name, Joel D. Moncrin. All one word, no double letters like that. So look
Amazing.
it up.
Joe, thank you for giving a few minutes today. This was great. Next project, let's get you back on, continuing this conversation.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.